Isn't it good to be with church family this morning? Good to be a part of. Good to be a part of what God's doing here. We thank God so much for His anointing, His presence that we feel in this place today, for we have truly come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I want to say something to you personally that how much I appreciate you coming and being here this morning. It means a lot. To me, I know that if we could hear some stories today, there's probably a lot of things tried to keep you from being here. But I personally want to say thank you for making that effort to be here and be a part of what God is doing. God has been speaking to us through His Word, and I thank Him for that. I thank Him that we serve a real God that is alive and well. He's not a monument. He's not a tombstone that we worship. He's real. And He's come to be a part of our lives. Last week we talked about Jonah. Our series has been 3 days. That's the title of it. And then subtitle is God Changes Things. 3 days. And when the Lord began to deal with me about that, there's been a lot of things come to my head. But the first one was that God begins things and He ends things. And I want you to know wherever you're at in life right now, at a beginning or a middle or an end, or at some point, sometimes you wonder if there's going to be an end. God is the author and what of our faith? Finisher. He is the first and the last. He's the A to Z and everything in between. God changes things. And it's been amazing to me as we've gone through the Word to see how the Bible talks about 3 days, 3 days, 3 days in different events. Last week we talked about Jonah and how God brought him through that situation he was in. And now we want to pick up on another situation with Paul. We began briefly on it last week, but we want to go back and make sure you get the foundation of that. We're going to start in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to go back to Acts. But I want to show you here, Paul had a hindering spirit through his ministry. Paul battled a lot in his ministry. He had a great, great ministry. 13 of the books that we read in the New Testament written by him. Tremendous missionary journeys. Paul accomplished a lot, but it was not without price. But he reveals time and time again, and this is the whole thing that God's wanted to teach us. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. Even though at times you feel, even on the cross, Jesus, you know, He suffered a lot of things that we go through. And He said, you know, Father, where are you? And basically, and God had to turn His back for a moment in time because He took the sins of the world on Him. What a price Jesus paid for us. But the point of this whole series is 3 days. Whether you're at the first day, the second day, or the third day, God's going to bring you through and God's going to take care of you. So we begin reading here in 2 Corinthians. I want to begin in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verses 7. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." In other words, everything he's going through, he's learning something. Now, you're dealing with a man who was tremendously, tremendously intelligent. A man that was very, very, as far as common sense and book sense and all that, he was tremendous. But now he's learning through revelation God's way. And so he says here, I'm learning a lot through abundance, through above measure, through abundance of revelations. There was given to me, in other words, my life has been a constant battle of learning, but I had a thorn in my flesh and the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And I told you last week, messenger there is broken down to angel. You remember a third of the angels fell when Satan was cast out of heaven. And so we know that they are evil spirits that continually their assignment is to buffet us, to war against us, to continually make life miserable for us, or really, to put it in a nutshell, to distract us from what God has for us. So that's what he's saying here. He says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, he begins to say here, he opens up his heart, he said, this thing I besought the Lord three times, that he might depart from me. And God came back saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And look at the next part. Strength is made perfect in weakness. Strength is made perfect in weakness. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous word right there. So we begin saying, now I want you to go, just turn your page, just one page back, and let's go to chapter 11. So Paul is revealing his heart. He's saying, I've enjoyed my ministry. I know what God has accomplished a lot, but there's some battles that I have encountered. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he begins to describe and give a portfolio of what he's going through. Look at verse 23, chapter 11, verse 23. Are there ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Now, I want you to understand, and the reason I feel an anointing here, I want you to understand what the Word is saying. I don't want to preach sermons at you, and then we leave and we don't know what in the world we've said. I want you to understand God's Word is speaking to us. You've got to understand the whole concept. Paul's ministry was never received. Paul's ministry was never received by a lot of church people, a lot of Christian people. Why? Because of his past. How many of you know that God can save you from your past? How many of you know when you ask God to come in your heart, He cleanses you? But there's always going to be somebody who don't believe it. So Paul's ministry was involved with disbelief because nobody believed him. When you go back into the book of Acts, and we'll go back there for a few minutes this morning, Jesus, God was trying to have people to minister to Paul, and they didn't want to do it. Because they said, we know what he is. We know what he did. And so there was a hard time. So I want you to understand, Paul had a lot of emotional, a lot of physical, a lot of mental battles. Because nobody believed he was who he said he was. Have you ever been at that point in life that you're in a place and nobody understands? You can't really explain it to them. You just know that you're there, but you can't explain it and nobody believes it. Bible said, when you've done all to do to stand, you just stand. Amen. And the Word says, when you look, remember I said every word? It says, stand therefore. Did you see that little word, therefore? That means you stand in what you know. You stand in the character of our God that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. His character says he will not lie. He will do what he said he would do. Amen. Isn't that awesome? When you're in battle, when you're going through a despair, and the devil's got all this in your mind, always revert back to the character of God. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. And the way I do things is never going to be the way you do things. So the way I figure out things is never going to be the way you figure out things. But understand my character. My character is God is love. Amen. And God takes care of us. Amen. Praise God. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, I speak as a fool. Now it's italicized there because he wanted to emphasize that's what people are calling him and that's what people are feeling. He says, I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and death oft. So he begins to give a description of what he's been through. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one, 39 stripes. Thrice, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I been in the deep, in the water, he's talking about the ocean, in journeyings, often in perils of waters. Let me just stop right here. Why is he going through this? You want to know why? He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. He hadn't robbed a bank, he hadn't killed nobody at this point. I mean, I couldn't say he had never killed nobody, but at this point, he hadn't done it. He's turned his life around. What do you do when you do all that you know to do and still all hell's coming against you? The devil's warring against your mind saying, yeah, what good is your God? Why are you having to suffer all these things? I thought if you served God, everything was going to be great. Well, I've got a room here today of testimonies that would tell you that's not true. When you serve Him, it doesn't mean that you're above situations. And I challenge those people who want to preach that type of gospel that says, well, when you serve Him and you got enough faith, you won't ever have any problems. That ain't what Jesus said. And I believe I trust Him a little more than I will somebody else. He says, in this world, you're going to have what? Tribulations. I wish I could tell you that it's not going to happen. But God tells us, I'm not going to leave you even in the midst of your tribulation. And Paul is sitting here, a man who wrote most of the New Testament, anointed of God, miracle after miracle, is telling us, this is some of the things that I went through. And I went through them because I declared Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Oh man. God, may we get a revelation from that. We need people today, and Northview is one of those monuments. I want to just tell you that God has called Northview to be a monument of this city that stands and is a standing example of consistency. We are who we are. We're going to be the same no matter what comes to this town and what leaves this town. We're still going to believe like we believe. Amen? We're going to stand firm on the Word because this city needs it. Somebody has got to be consistent and not move with every wind of doctrine that comes by. Amen?
Amen?
I know we're not busting out the seas, but that's okay. I'd rather have quality than quantity. I want you to know when you leave here who you are. God give us this place, this beautiful building, and we love Northview. We love it because He's here every Sunday. He comes in this place and He worships with us. He touches us. He enlightens us, encourages us. And that's what Paul's trying to say. I've been through all this, but we're going to learn. We're going to learn that didn't move Him. And I know some things I wish I could go to every one of you. God gives me people all during the week to pray for. And I wish I could go to you and just take that burden off of you. I wish I could do that. But God says, I'm big enough to handle it. You just pray. Amen.
Amen.
You just pray. I love a God that I can talk to, don't you? Okay. He said, I've been in the deep. Verse 25, verse 26. In journeyings often. In journeyings. When you break the word journeyings there, it's all different directions. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. Been robbed. In perils by my own people. Countrymen. In perils by heathens, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. You see that? In weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, cold and nakedness. Now, I want to bring this point to you. Remember the scripture we read a while ago, thorn in the flesh. And he prayed. And many people have debated on what that thorn in the flesh was. I told you that last week. Many people have said a lot of things, physical, whatever. But I want to tell you, his heart is about to be revealed in this next verse. I want you to see his heart. He's described all these things that's happened to him, but look at the next verse. Verse 28, beside those things that are without. You see that word without? These are things that's happened in my life, and they're outside. I can't do anything about it. That's what's happened to me. But now he's getting ready to reveal his heart. That which cometh upon me daily is the care of the churches. That's what I believe his main thorn was. That he loved his churches. He loved his people so much that there was, you got to understand, the whole city was riveted by accusation and by talking about him and just ridiculing him and running him down. And so that's what he had to deal with. Every time he went into a city, he had to deal with that. And the people that believed in Paul, the God of Paul, suffered because of Paul. And Paul is saying, the problem I have, the most biggest hurt I have, is the care of the churches. You see that? When God calls you to do something, you just can't walk away from that with an open heart, because God has got every one of you for a purpose. And until you find that purpose, you'll never have peace of heart. But when you find that purpose, there's going to come a lot of things to try to get you out of that purpose. But Paul said, the care of the churches is what really bothers me. I gave you this little saying, and then we're going to move on to a shipwreck in the book of Acts. Principalities work through personalities. Always remember that. Principalities always work through personalities. All right, now, Paul has been describing here, and I want us to go to the book of Acts, chapter 28. Book of Acts, chapter 28. And we're going to look at verse chapter 28. And I want you to see something here. Paul, one of his greatest desires was always to go to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. History reveals that to us. But one of the greatest reasons he wanted to go there, he wanted to appeal to Caesar. He wanted to talk to Caesar and help Caesar understand, because Caesar, as you know, was the king. He was the dominant force at that time. And Paul had a burning desire out of all of his missionary journeys was to go to Rome. Well, he went to Rome, but not in the way he wanted to go. He went as a prisoner. He went as a prisoner. I want you to understand, when you make a stand for God, and I want you to really get this, there will be a warfare against you, but if you'll stand, God will stand with you. Amen?
Amen.
I want to put it this way. If it's worth doing, it's worth paying a price. If you're not paying a price, it's not worth anything. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I heard a minister preach the other day. I never heard it like this before, and it just really opened my eyes, talking about Trump and talking about, and I'm not going to get all political on you today, but I'm going to tell you it's time for America to have some leadership. Mm-hmm. And he said the reason America's in the shape it's in today, it's because we have not seen what leadership looks like. And that thing hit me, and I just stopped the channel and just let that sink in. And what he's meaning is now somebody's making decisions. Somebody's saying, we're going to do this. You remember, sort of like back in the Ronald Reagan days. You remember that?
Right.
It was what it was. Now again, I'm not going to get political, but anyway, we need leaders. Leadership is not easy. Everybody can't be a leader. I hear these young boys coming up and say, well, I want to be a manager. I want to be this. I want to be that. I say, that's fine, son, but are you willing to pay the price to do that? Because to be good at what you're doing is worth paying something. And if you don't pay anything to do what you do, you're never going to receive any rewards. Does that make sense? You're never going to get anything out of it if you don't put anything in it. Why? God made a law. When he created this world, he established it with laws. How many of you know what one of the laws is? Sowing and reaping. If you sow, you're going to reap. If you don't put nothing in, you're not going to get nothing out. And we live in a nation now that everybody wants something for nothing. You don't have to work anymore. You don't do anything anymore. Just make sure at the 15th or the 1st you're at the mailbox. That's the only job you got, to be at the mailbox and get your check. That's sad that we live in a nation like that. And I want to tell you, God said that there's an enemy out there. Paul said there's an enemy out there. But I had a burning desire in me to carry the gospel. And whatever it took, that's what I was willing to go through. Man, that thins the herd real quick. Amen. Amen. God is... Y'all just see me standing here, but I'm actually jumping all up and down. Paul wanted to go to Rome. He wants to go to Rome, but he's in the midst of a storm. When we pick up on the book of Acts, we see a storm. And I want to be very careful that I go through this. I'm not in a hurry. You can tell that. So I'll stop and finish what I don't do, but whatever. I just want you to get what I'm trying to say. Now we're going to go. Paul is here in a storm. Paul has warned them. No matter what you're going through, no matter where people believe you or not, you stand firm to God and he'll stand firm for you. And God told them, don't go on this boat. Don't go on this journey. Do not go on this journey. But they didn't listen to him. Just because they don't listen to you, you get this right here. Just because they don't listen to you don't mean you don't have a voice. We need a voice crying out in the wilderness if it need be. Amen. Paul said, don't go. But they didn't listen to him. They didn't listen to him. So he's in the middle of a storm. And as I was studying this, I paused and wrote a question down. If you could see my notes sometime, you probably wouldn't hardly understand them. But when he gives me things, I try to write it down. Who is causing storms in your life right now? Who is causing storms, or what is causing storms in your life right now? What is causing a storm in your life? What part of you? And Paul said they hadn't lightened the load. They were lightening the boat, so let them join, and they were throwing things off because the storm was just tremendous. So in Acts chapter 27, I want to go to verse 19. Verse 19, what does it say? In third day, 3 days. We cast out our own hands tackling of the ship. They're just throwing things over. And when neither sun nor stars in the many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Is he in a storm? Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, saying, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and have not loosened from Crete, and have not gained this harm in this loss. See what he's saying there? You should have listened to me. So they're in the midst of this storm. And it says in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So what is Paul saying here? You've got to understand what God is saying right here, church. Somebody's got to be a voice. And somebody's got to give direction in the midst of this storm. God has raised up Northview in this last day to be a voice. How are we going to be a voice? God's going to give us the wisdom to know what to do and how to do it. But I'm telling you, this building is not here by chance. For 50 years it's been sitting here. It's not just sitting here because it's beautiful property. It is sitting here to be in the last day light in a dark world. You and I are a light in a dark world. Somebody's got to say, this is not right. And I want to tell you, there's a price to pay for that. Your pastor is going through things that a price is having to be paid on a job or whatever, because I'm trying to stand for what's right. And we live in a day now where men don't want what's right. But somebody's got to stand. Amen? Somebody's got to say, this is not right. And I will not bow my knee to Baal. Does that make sense to anybody? Amen. Amen. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul stands up after much abstinence. Everybody, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Paul stood up and said, I told you not to do this. But I just want to say to you, because we serve a merciful, gracious God, He's going to take care of us. We're going to lose this ship. But our lives will not be lost. Whew. Glory to God. You're in a storm and battling and battling and battling. You're losing this and losing that. That's okay. Those things are okay, because you're not going to lose you. Quit telling that devil you're about to lose your mind. You're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose it. In my case, there ain't a whole lot to lose there, but I ain't going to lose what little bit I got. Amen. Other things might change. Things around me might change. But God doesn't change. He's still the same. He's the one who walked on the sea. He's the one that's mastered the sea. He's the one that came out of the bow of that boat that day and looked at that water and said, you be still. And all of a sudden, peace just came all over this thing. Let me tell you what, when God says that's enough, that's enough. Amen?
Amen.
Let them say what they want to in America. Let the news say whatever it wants to. Those people need a job. That's what they need. But let them say whatever they want to say, because my God shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. And the last time His account had checked out, He still got more than enough. Praise the Lord. Y'all just see me flip? I just flip right now. That'd be a sight. Let me get back. I see I'm about run out of time. Verse 19, in the third day, there's that 3 days again. He says, but we're not going to lose anything. Look at verse 22. And I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall no loss come to us. And look at verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, saying, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul, you're on this boat because you're a liar, you're this, you're that, you're a prisoner, you're nothing. You're just false, you're false, you're false. But in the midst of the storm, the angel stands beside him. And Paul says, who I am and who I serve. Whew. Glory to God. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, verse 25, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all this to you. I want you to read it in your own study. But at verse 27, I want you to see something. Verse 27. 14 days and nights. Paul's been in this journey, this battle. It's been dark. They're actually, when you break it down and really begin to study, they're in a hurricane. They're in the middle of a hurricane. And sometimes you feel like your life's in the middle of a hurricane. It's just coming from you every way. 14 nights was come, and we were driven up and down in Adria. About midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near some country. And then it begins to say, you know, that they're just being tossed to and fro. And the bottom line is, for 14 days, they're involved in a storm. As you begin to read on in this thing, and I want to go chapter 28, and I want to say this, in the middle of the end of chapter 27, the beginning of chapter 28, the storm destroys the boat. All they have is something they can hang on to. Actually, what they're doing, they hang on to pieces of the boat. Remember what God said? You're not going to lose your life. They didn't drown like Jonah did. God preserved them just like he did Jonah. They preserved him in the water, even though it was just a piece of wood. They floated to the shore. And in Acts chapter 28, when they get to the shore, it was a place called the Island of Melita. Now, God drifted, or God allowed those winds to pull him or take them to Melita. God's got a plan. God changes things. God is a God that does what he says he will do. Now, he gets to the island of Melita. And I got a lot to tell you right here, so I'm not going to have time. I just want to just give you just a little bit right here. Verse 28, chapter 1, and when they were escaped, then they knew the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness for they kindled a fire and received every one of us because of the present rain and because of the cold. I'm going to stop right there today. He has gone from a prisoner on a slave ship, chained, bound, the ship is destroyed. He floats in the middle of this hurricane to the shore of Melita. The reason he's at Melita is because God has a plan. When he gets there, they're all soaking wet. He has absolutely nothing but the clothes on his back. I'm going to leave you with that. But you're going to see in a matter of days, God changed things for Paul. And then we're going to talk about it next week, but God changed things. He's sitting there by the fire. I'm going to leave it right here. We'll pick up on this next Sunday. He's warming his hands by a fire. A snake jumps out. You've already been through a hurricane. You've already been through a storm. You're standing there. You're soaked. You're cold. You're wet. And a snake jumps out.
The snake jumps on and bites his hands. And his friends say, he must have done really something wrong. He's fixing to die. He's fixing to die. Friends like that, you don't need no enemies, right? But in a few minutes, Paul slings that snake off into the fire. Now they say, he must be a god. Friends will love you, leave you, come back and love you again. You ever had that? But he's still standing. And when we get through telling you what happened to him on the island of Leyte, your face is going to be so encouraged to let you know that God can take you from a slave ship to one of the finest ships made. One of the finest ships made. He's going to take you from nothing, no money, no clothes, no nothing, to being so rich that you live for 2 years and not have to worry about nothing. Let me tell you about the God we serve. He takes care of his people. And whatever you're going through, we're going to talk about it some more next week. We're going to talk about the island of Melita and what all happened to Paul right there. But God set things in order in the midst of a storm. Wherever you're at right now, God is making a way where there is not a way. God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, God, that you're a God that doesn't lie. You're a God that's truth, and you back it by your word. Lord, I'm not telling these beautiful people something I heard, something I'm telling them out of the word of God that has been challenged and has gone through turmoil for years. And you're still standing. Some of us, Lord, are dealing with physical issues. Some of us, Lord, are dealing with a lot of other kind of issues. But God, you're a God that even in the midst of the storm, you make a way where there is not a way. Lord, we bind the spirit of discouragement this morning that would try to bring heaviness upon your people, would take their hope. Send them an angel, God, like you did Paul, and let them stand there and declare, you are mine and I am yours. And if God be for me, who can be against me? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you this morning.